Certainly we come together to serve a God whose great faithfulness goes before us in all our ways. In studying the wonderful and marvelous God, we have seen that God is not a man. He is a consuming fire to all those who disobey Him. But God is also merciful, and He is a refuge and a stronghold, a fortress, a mighty fortress. And our God always is with us. He is the sovereign God over all the heavens and over all the earth. How wonderful it is to come together and to worship a magnificent and marvelous God. And today in our study, I pray we will be able to consider together that God is faithful. Considering with me for a moment how great His faithfulness is. God, His grace is a fact. It's a gift that He has given us, the power from God to overcome sin in our lives. His sacrifice upon that cross is a fact. We all know historically and through the Bible especially that Jesus walked among men and that He did die on that cross on our behalf. He took His place, a place where none of us could have been. And when we think of that, we think of how great is His faithfulness. Yes, indeed. When we consider how great His faithfulness is, we understand that God is faithful. And we must consider what our response is to a faithful God. To His faithfulness, what should our response be? And this morning in our hearing, we read Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22 through 24. And Calvin read that so well. The Lord's mercies are because of His mercy. Rather, we are not consumed, the Scripture says. God Himself, because of His faithfulness to His own Word, has not consumed us yet. There will come a day when He does, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And there will be many who will be consumed that day. And a few will be drawn up into heaven to evermore be with our faithful God. And when we think of this, His compassions, they do not fail us. His care for us, His concern for us, His desire that we have the good fruits, they never fail. And though we have troubles and turmoils in life, we can always turn to our faithful God and hope. Every single morning, our God is faithful. And every single morning is new. And every day that we have life and breath, we can turn and recognize just how wonderful God is. And so again, I ask, what is man's response to be? When we stop and think of it, we're His disciples. And the only proper response to God's greatness and His faithfulness towards us, His marvelous power, it must be faith. We must stand in faith because He was faithful to us. We must stand in faith because He has kept all His promises. God's grace, that's the power of His Word to lead us into the saving faith. That same marvelous and powerful Word comes our way because God is faithful. Not through the works of merit. It's not things that we do or the things that we have done, but through the obedience to God's every word. Doing the works of faith that He created us to do.
For we are His workmanship. We are the clay
that the potter's hand has formed. We were created in Christ Jesus, born anew as the children of God for good works. And these good works God prepared for us from the very foundation, even before the foundation of the world,
that we should walk in them. What is our response to such an awesome and faithful God? Can it be anything less than faith? Faith and obedience to His Word and to His will in our lives. Solomon, a very wise man, he pronounced that we need to fear God and keep His commandments. For this is man's all, Solomon said. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And so, our God, being as faithful as He is, keeping all His promises throughout the generations, even today, to us, faith is our only proper response to God's great gift of grace. It's our only proper response as a child of God. And we must be showing that true and constant support within each one of us of our loyalty to Him, to no other God. I want you to think of that. God is faithful. Keeping our promises, doing what we're supposed to do according to His Word, which is filled with His great and precious promises. That's the least we can do. Certainly great is His faithfulness to them and to us. You know, dead faith won't do. Dead faith won't do. When you consider what the writer of the book of James said, how faith without works is dead, being alone. James says, you show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. So as Christians, and we want to honor God and His great faithfulness to us, consider His works. The creation of all things for all time on our behalf. God so loved the world. One of His works was to send Jesus down from heaven to be with man, to bring us the good, precious gospel so that we could hear it. Even today, one of God's great works is His precious Word written down for all eternity. Never changing, always trusted. You think of all the great things that God, quote, did on our behalf. He was walking upon this earth. He was ridiculed and spit upon, even chased out of His own hometown, even by His own brethren. People heard Him, and some people followed, and some, many, walked away. While He was here, He healed the blind, and the lame He made to walk. Those who could not hear could hear. Those who could not see could see. He even raised people from the dead. You consider with me the wonderful and marvelous works of God on our behalf. And our only response is faith. To be doers of the Word, not hearers only. Great is His faithfulness, and our faithfulness should be nothing less. Dead faith. It just won't do. Dead faith is unproductive faith. It's a non-working faith. It's a silent faith. And such is the faith of demons. You remember in James chapter 2 and verse 19, the demons believed,
They knew Jesus. They knew Jesus. They knew God better in a way than we ever will until the day comes when we see Him face to face. Because they were there. They knew Him. And they believed and trembled. But they did nothing as a response to God's majesty. They did nothing as a response to His greatness. They did nothing in response to His many faithful gifts. All they did was tremble. A dead faith. It just won't work. Our response must be a living faithfulness. Faith that accepts God as King, or God and our King, rather. Faith that depends and leans upon God's providential strength in our lives. Faith that responds to His greatness with a reciprocal loving kindness and faith. A faith that responds to His living Word. A faith that responds to Him and all that He's done. Not a dead faith. And yes, our response must be a living faithfulness. It must be something that accepts God as our God and our King. A faith that depends and leans upon His providential strength. A faith that responds to His greatness with living works. A dead faith just won't work. Webster's definition of faithfulness is really interesting. In the absolute sense, full of faith, it means steadfastness in affliction or allegiance, a loyalty, firm in adherence to the promises or in observance or of duty, and conscientious, given with strong assurance, binding, a faithful promise, true to the facts, to a standard, or to an original. What is our faith true to? What is our standard? Only the Word of God. In its original state as we have it, as He's blessed us with it. No changes, no additions. Just truth. And the Spirit of God that He's given to us. Truly, this is our best and only path. And our facts are the standard of His Word, the original Word of God, plus nothing else. A fellow named Tozer, he wrote, "The Word of God, well understood and religiously obeyed, is the shortest route to spiritual perfection. And we must not select a few favorite passages to the exclusion of others. Nothing less than the whole Bible can make a Christian, a whole Christian. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Paul said, "I shun not to declare the whole gospel." Nothing less. And our faith should stand upon that Word of God. I want you to open your sword today, that Word of God, with me, beloved. And I want you to take a walk with me just for a time in the matchless and great faithfulness of our Creator, our God. And consider these four things with me as we look into this sword of the Spirit. Number one, that God is faithful. Number two, Christ is faithful. Number three, the Word is faithful. And number four, faithfulness of our is our only and proper response to Him. So our first assurance here today is that God is faithful. God is always faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you look at that, Paul here reminds the Jews of their fathers who were under the cloud as they passed through the sea. And Paul, he speaks to that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was the rock that they all drank from. That spiritual rock was Christ. And he reminds them of something. He reminds them that they, and something that they no doubt they already knew.
that with most of them, God was not well pleased. But you know, God never removed His faithfulness. They struggled and they had troubles. Eventually they went into captivity and all these things, not because God wasn't faithful, but because they were not faithful. They didn't understand their proper response to God. They didn't hold to the proper response to God's faithfulness. And they became disobedient and unfaithful. God never removed His faithfulness. They did. You know, it was their sins that displeased God and caused them to go down and fall. Paul wrote that they lusted after evil things. Some of those things, they were idolaters. They sat down to eat and drink and they rose up to play. Does that sound familiar in our society today? They were sexually immoral. Does that sound familiar? It sure does. Paul warns them not to tempt Christ as their fathers did in the wilderness. Not to tempt Christ. Does that sound familiar with all the different religions and all the different theologies and all the different doctrines out there and people who say you don't even need to know Jesus, you don't even need to know God? Does that sound pretty familiar? And all these things happened to them as examples, Paul said. And they were written for our admonition, Paul said, for our learning, so that we could look at that and say, wait, that wasn't a good thing that they did. That wasn't a good thing. They brought that upon themselves. And Paul said all these things just to help us understand that we must trust and rely upon God's faithfulness and not upon ourselves. The Apostle Paul in that same chapter says, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he falls. If we believe that I'm sustaining, self-sustaining, I don't need you, I don't need him, I don't need God, I'm doing this all by myself, and I don't really need anything, I don't need anybody. Listen, we need God. Because without God, we will fall. We all will face trials, every one of us. I can't imagine anyone living through life and never having troubles and tests and something that comes their way that is hard. You know, but God is faithful. And in that text in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it tells us that He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able because He is faithful. He's merciful, as we've studied. But the temptations that do come our way, our faithful God will always make a way of escape for any one of us who believes and obeys and follows in faith. And we'll be able to bear it because God is faithful. You know, the real truth is that if we're faithless, He remains faithful. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. If we don't have faith, that doesn't change God. Why? Because God cannot deny Himself. God has made faithful promises, great and precious, and He will keep all of His promises, regardless of our response. Isn't it better to believe and to be baptized and to walk in faith for the rest of your life than to believe and do nothing? Because you know that puts you in the class with the demons who believed and did nothing. If you're going to love God, don't love Him from afar. Love Him up close and personal. Be doers of the Word. Don't deny Him. Because He's never going to deny you. But in that last day, if we've denied Him, He will deny you. Was not God faithful in all His promises?
Consider with me what Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11 says about Sarah, who laughed at God when He promised a child of her. She laughed at God. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 11, she laughed. But you notice what it says there in Genesis chapter 21, that she did even in her old age, even though she laughed, God still kept His promise because she bore a son. You can read about that. Genesis chapter 21. She bore a son. God made her laugh, and all the people around her, it says, would laugh. And she said also, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse a child? And yet she did. Isaac was born to her. God kept His promise. Faithful is our God. The next thing we want to look at is that we want to consider the fact that God's faithfulness is unwavering. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 through 22. The Apostle Paul, he's planning to do something. He says, I was planning this. I did not do it lightly. Or the things I do plan according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes and yes and no and no. But you see what Paul says, that God is faithful. Our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by the apostles, by Paul, it was not yes and no, but in God or in Him, it was just simply yes. You see, everything that He has ever promised is a yes, and He will do it. All the promises of God are yes, Paul said. To the glory of God, through us, He who establishes you with all of us in Christ has the anointed us. The one who has anointed us is God. He's sealed us. He's given us the Spirit as a guarantee. And what He said, He will do. Everything that God is yes. He's unwavering in that respect. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, we're told by the Hebrew writer, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. That's God. We need to hold to our faith. That's our only proper response. And our faith should be without wavering. We should take every word of God in, and we should eat that honey of God's word as a good taste in our mouths. And we shouldn't be a person that argues against God's word or uses God's word to argue against God's word, or we shouldn't be a people of two different opinions. Because there's one faith, isn't there? Let us hold fast to the faith without wavering, because He is always faithful and always unwavering. And so we must be too. We're His children. We're adopted by Him, and we must imitate Him in all of our ways. And He will save us when we're faithful. But don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, so also shall he reap. And if we claim we have faith, but we walk with demons and just simply tremble, He will cast us off as He casted the demons off. And He will cast us off in that last day into hell if we do not walk in faith. You know, and it's, listen, when I talk about walking in faith, it's not that any of us can be perfect. In no way can we be perfect, but we must be faithful to keep His commands. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, John makes this very clear. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments, they're not grievous. They're not burdensome. They're not so hard that we can't follow them. The only problem that men have today is they refuse to obey God.
Does that sound familiar? We need to respond with faith.
Faith in His Word. Faith in that Word that we read about in Corinthians that would bring us to a place where we're having hardships and trials and troubles, but by the power of God's Word and His mighty hand in our lives, we will find a way out.
We have that faith. It's not being perfect in ourselves, but being perfected by Christ's blood. Another point here is that God in His faithfulness is always ready to forgive. God is faithful. He's faithful to forgive us. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, it simply says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to the faithful Creator. And so He's always faithful to us, and He's willing always to forgive us. We just have to commit our souls to Him. We have to walk in the light as He is in the light, and we have to confess our sins when we have sins, and repent of our sins when we have sins, and change our ways, and get closer to that narrow and difficult path that leads to eternal life. The second assurance for us today is that Christ is faithful. When we read about this, His faithfulness, merciful and faithful, He's our high priest. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, we read, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you. And He will guard you from the evil one. That's Jesus. He will establish us through His Word and guard us from the devil through His Word in order that we may accomplish great things. Hebrews 2 and 17. In all things, He, Jesus, had to be made like His brethren, the Scripture tells us. He came down from heaven to be flesh among us, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest. You see, Jesus is on our side, and when the new law of Christ has come into effect, and we must walk in faithfulness to the one who is faithful to us. He's the propitiation for our sins. In Hebrews chapter 3, in verses 1 and 2, we need to be partakers of that heavenly gift, and we need to consider Jesus Christ, the high priest and apostle of our confession. Christ Jesus, He was the one who was faithful to Him who appointed Him. He was faithful to the Father in all things. And listen, we need to be reciprocal in our faith. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over all the kings of the earth. He's the one who loved us. He's the one who washed us from our sins in His own blood. Revelation says this is the Amen, the faithful, the true witness. He's the righteous one. And He's the one who speaks to us by the word of His mouth. He is called faithful and righteous. Revelation 19 and verse 11. God is to be praised for His faithfulness. And not only is the Father and the Son faithful, but also the inspired Word of God is faithful. It's words that come from the mouth of God. And as we who live in the Lord and for the Lord, our God and our Savior, we know with certainty that third assurance that God's Word itself is faithful. The Word itself is faithful. It is filled, the Scripture tells us, with faithful sayings worthy of all acceptance, such as Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It is because of and by that faithful Word, that Word that is worthy of all acceptance, that we, the saints of God, can labor and even suffer reproach. by the world.
Because we trust in the Word of God, the living God, who's our Savior. He's the Savior of all men. But the Scripture says, especially to those who believe.
You see,
our faithfulness to Him, our believing, is our only proper response. And when we have that proper mindset, that proper spirit within us, that proper soul-saving motives, then we are those who believe. Those are the especially's of God. Not that Jesus saves those who don't believe. When the Scripture says He's the Savior of all men, it's not inferring that Jesus is going to save everybody like the religions that speak today teach.
And I'm sure that sounds familiar.
But He is the Savior of all mankind. Whether we're saved or not, He's still the Savior. That's His title. That's His place. And because He has promised salvation to all, He has the propitiation to the whole world. Not only us, but to everyone, that everyone can come and believe and do the works that He's called us to do in faith. The fact is that His Word has faithfully taught us that if we deny Him, He'll deny us. The Word of God says that if we die with Him, we shall live with Him. 2 Timothy 2:11. Paul in Romans chapter 6 tells us that that's how we get into Christ. We die and are buried in baptism. That's something we do, not something we tremble at. And when we are buried with Him in baptism, we become a part of Him. His blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And we come out of that water a new creature, to walk in faithfulness. We have to hold fast to the faithful Word, as we have been taught, Paul says. That we have to hold to sound doctrine, not only in ourselves, but also to exhort and convict those who are contradictory. That's walking in faith. All this is by the power of God's Word, by the sword of God. And so therefore, as we are called the saints of God, most constantly we must affirm that our faith goes before us. And we do that by walking in faith. Those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works, the Scripture says. And these things are good and profitable to men, the Scripture says. Consider what Revelation 22 and verse 6 says. These words are faithful and true. God's Word is faithful and true. And we live by it, and we walk by it. We are born again by it. It sanctifies us. It sets us apart. And it builds us up and establishes us in the most holy faith. Certainly His Word is faithful. So now hear this. Now hear this, because our God is unwavering, and because our God is always faithful, because our Lord Jesus Christ, our High Priest, is merciful and faithful towards us, because the Word of God itself is filled with the faithful sayings and worthy of all acceptance, because these good and profitable things are good and profitable to all mankind, it must give us pause. We must meditate. We must think and consider what our proper response to our God who is faithful should be. And so when we consider all these wonderful and faithful truths, all the sayings about God, all the sayings in the Word about Jesus, and in the Word itself, that I see my only avenue is to be faithful to God, faithful to Jesus, and faithful to the Word as much as what is in me to do. For this faithfulness on our part is our only proper response to God Himself, who is faithful. Listen, it's our duty
to be faithful. To be a faithful servant. Matthew 24:45 through 51. We want to be that faithful servant that is ready when the Lord comes. We want to be like the faithful servant. We want to be someone who uses the Word of God as a basis, as a stone of judgment, so that we know what's right and what's wrong. And we must have as a member of the body of Christ, especially new members, we must respond as Lydia did in the book of Acts. When Paul and Timothy and Silas, they went to Philippi of Macedonia, and they were staying in that city, and on the Sabbath day it says they went over to the riverside where there was prayer customarily made. And as they go over to that river, they spoke to a woman whom they met there. And the funny thing is that a woman named Lydia heard their conversation. This woman sold purple in that city. And she worshiped God. And she heard them talking, what the Scriptures were saying. And the Scripture tells us that the Lord opened her heart. It opened her heart to heed the things which Paul and Silas and Timothy were saying. And so she was persuaded, it said. And after that, she had the proper response. The Scripture tells us that as a new convert, it says that when she and her whole household were baptized, that she said, "If you judge me faithful, come into my house and stay." That idea of that fellowship immediate, and that love for one another immediate, that concern and care for one another, and for a desire to hear more of God's Word that's immediate. "If you judge me to be faithful, come into my house and stay." That's what she persuaded them. And they came, and she benefited greatly. That's a proper response as a Christian. If we don't do these things, we become spiritually lethargic. Especially new members. They should be zealous for the knowledge and the companionship, the fellowship that we have in Christ Jesus, for the body of Christ that they're a new part of. And when we think of that, the next thing related to this is our proper response, is how we should apply ourselves to the work of the church. We need to continue the work all the way until death. We don't want to be dissatisfied. We want to make application as babes in Christ and as mature Christians. 1 Peter tells us, as newborn babes, we need to desire the milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. 2 Timothy tells us, 2:15, to study, to show ourselves as proved unto God. Hebrews 10 and 25 tell us that we must grow and not forsake the assembly, growing in the service of Christ, Romans 12 and 11. Not lagging in diligence, but fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord. We have this great gift from our Father who is faithful. And so we must reciprocate and serve one another, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. You see, God doesn't want us to tremble and believe. He wants us to believe and do. Finally, our last point, and the lesson will be yours. Our proper response to the faithfulness of our God is to those who labor in the work of the church here in this local congregation, teachers, song leaders, those who serve at the table, those who clean the building, those who mow the lawn and take care of things that belong to God. As teachers, song leaders, etc., we need to live a consistent life in service to this Most High God, 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Make adequate preparations we must do. We have to be a people who have purposed and prepared in our hearts to serve God. We need to be equal to the task and accept the responsibility. Like Daniel, in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, when the Scripture tells us he purposed in his heart to serve and not to defile himself. We need to be that kind of person who makes a purpose and a direction in our hearts. And we need to be ready. We need to be ready to serve before the event takes place. Think about that with me and give thought. You don't get ready for worship 5 seconds before worship. You don't get ready for the hour of worship 5 minutes before worship. We need to be ready for every good work, Paul wrote to Timothy. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Being ready means to prepare, which goes hand in hand with being convicted in your heart to do God's will. You know, we need to be on time. We've talked about this before. Early is on time. On time is late. When once the master of the house has risen, the script Jesus taught, he rises up and he shuts the door. And you begin to stand outside and you're knocking on that door, saying, "Lord, Lord, open for us." And you know what his answer was? He said, "I don't know you. And I don't know where you're from." Don't be late. Don't let the doors just be closing as you sit down or as you stand up to serve. Be on time, which means be early. And be reliable. So important for us that we need to be a person of reliability. We need to be a people that when the Lord comes, He'll find us ready. And that we will be doing what we say. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 37, Jesus says, "Let your yes and your no be no, for anything more than that is from the evil one." In James, he tells us that if we don't abide by our yeses and our noes, that we will face judgment and fall. So we need to be reliable. We need to be good teachers. Teachers who are ready, and song leaders who are ready, and men and women who are ready to serve. Be steadfast, be purposeful, be loyal and ready, and be on time, early. We need to be that kind of people to honor God. Indeed, we need to walk these ways. While it's called today, we need to walk the walk that God has set before us. For all too soon the time will come, and it will come when the walk will be over. When the grave will call. Solomon, in his great wisdom, he teaches us that our labor must be done with zeal and that we must walk while we're alive. Whatever your hand finds to do, he says, do it with all your might, for there is no work, device, or knowledge, or wisdom in the grave. Because at that time, it's too late. It's too late. Don't be a trembling demon and go off into eternal hell. Be a man, a woman, and stand up and do in faith what we're called to do. Beloved, all of you, all of us, we must remember the admonition of Paul, who tells us to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Certainly, His faithfulness is great. And our faithfulness towards Him should be great. And we should be a people with pure and honest hearts with a desire to please Him. And we live in a cynical and faithless world. We do. And very few people will walk that narrow, difficult path which leads to everlasting life. But beloved, we must make every attempt as we walk this sod to walk in the light, to be faithful to Christ, to be faithful to God, to be faithful to the Word. Find the courage. Find the courage through the Word and through that Spirit to be faithful today in everything that you do. Great is His faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. All I have needed, His hand as provided. Yes, great is His faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Indeed, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ our Lord, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He's that to all those who are with Him and who are called, who are chosen to be faithful. Revelation 17 and 4. We do have that great faithfulness. And He has is faithful who promised that if we would just come to Him and be doers of the Word, that He would save us from our sins, that He would put us into the kingdom of His Son, and that one day that kingdom would be delivered up to God. Are you a faithful person today? Do you believe that God is? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Do you know that you are a sinner and that you must repent of your sins? And if so, are you willing to do that today? Are you willing to not be stubborn and not be on the side of the devil and the demons and just simply tremble at the thought? Are you willing to yield yourself over to His will, the faithful God? If so, would you today stand and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and be baptized for the remission of your sins, to be added to God's family, His church, to be called His child? And then you simply live the rest of your life in faith. Maybe you've done all those things except the last, walking in faith, meaning being baptized into Christ. You need to stop and think of how faithful our God is and what our response to Him should be. And if we're Christians and we have erred in some way, we need to make that right with our God too. We're not exempt. We must give ourselves over in faithfulness and confess those sins, and He will forgive us if we repent. So the invitation is for you this day. Whatever need you may have, we're going to sing song number 300 today. And the title of that song is "I'm Coming, Lord." Will you say that today as we stand and as we sing?